A mom friend and I had been having a forgettable chat in a picturesque little cafe when I brought it up, a subject that made her visibly tense. I'd known her as an unflappable, high-powered management consultant turned tech executive. She was a visionary, always spoiling for a challenge worthy of her considerable skills and talents. Thoughtful and strategic, she brought a commanding yet optimistic presence to meetings and made people want to rise to the heights of her ambitious proposals. But on that day, I struck a nerve with an offhand remark about how little parents know about teaching their kids to read. That is, how we're told just to read to them every day and wait for the magic to set in. I used to get so angry when I would hear that advice, she said. I was working so hard when my kids were little. I didn't have an hour to read to them every night, and I felt so bad about it. She recalled hoping at the time that enrolling the kids in good schools would make up for the story time deficit. Still, she carried guilt about it for years. Her kids were in high school by the time I met her, but the memory pained her. She may have given her kids her all, but in her mind, she'd come up short on that one measure and didn't let herself forget it. I've been a part of countless conversations about raising readers, and they tend to get emotional. I've heard the heartfelt testimony of a woman who records incarcerated mothers reading picture books and then ships the books and recordings to their kids so they can have some semblance of a bedtime ritual with mom. I've heard from multilingual parents who fret about passing on their first language without undermining their child's progress learning English. I've spoken with parents after they've just received the jarring news of a child's dyslexia diagnosis. They all grappled with intense feelings of worry and frustration that come from discovering their children had a need they didn't know how to meet. You can hear the edge of panic in their tones. The cafe conversation stuck with me, though, because this parent's angst wasn't coming from an obviously vulnerable space. The family wasn't in crisis. Her kids had performed well in school and were on the cusp of launching into college. Theirs was an educational success story, judged by most standards, but her own. Around the same time, I spoke with another mom who said she had made time to read to her three sons at length, every night for more than a decade. Yet she was just as tortured by her decision to go all in as the mom who had not. The second mom had clung to the bedtime ritual like a badge of honor, but her middle son still struggled with reading. He lacked the skill and motivation to read well for himself and had recently bombed his state achievement test. "But I read to him every night," she told me, expressing her sense that she'd been cheated out of an expected return. She was angry that she would have to pay a tutor to teach what he had missed, that she had not acted earlier on signs that he needed more support, that what worked for one child did not work for all. "I noticed he read like a robot, but thought it just takes some kids longer." How could it be that moms at both ends of the spectrum, one who had read every night and one who had not, both described nearly identical feelings of inadequacy, uncertainty, and disappointment? The answer, I came to understand, was in the singular focus on bedtime reading. Both clung to the particular raise a reader tactic as the measure of their influence, and both suffered for it. That's because our loud cultural push for daily reading aloud, devoid of proper context, has a way of both shaming those who can't instill the habit and giving a false sense of security to those who can. Both moms had fixated on a story time to success message that resounds in the press, libraries, schools, and parenting programs. The well-intended advice is everywhere, but its delivery tends to raise more questions than it answers. Like most fairy tales, this particular story is well-worn, fractured with each retelling, and prone to magical leaps. It skips over crucial detail about the long, winding, and often plodding roads to reading. Day-to-day life with little kids exposes the missing plot points. How do you make family reading a habit? And if you do, does the ritual really bring about the host of benefits it's been praised for? What else is required of parents to get the job done?